that song right there. God bless you. The Comforter's come. Are you glad He's come? Say amen. I tell you, what would we do without the Comforter tonight? We give the Lord the praise for who He is. Titus chapter 2 tonight. Titus chapter 2. We've been tying ourselves down to this passage. It's taken me a little while to get through this particular passage here. This is part 3 to the message that I began 2 Sunday mornings ago on sound doctrine. We've come to Titus chapter 2. We get our title in verse number 1. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on the opening 10 verses of this chapter. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. But we pick up our reading in verse number 1 just to get our title. And then this will be part 3 to this as we progress through this particular passage. Titus 2, 1 says, "But speak thou the things which become," here's the two words, here's the title, "sound doctrine." Sound doctrine. You know, I'm glad tonight that we know we are listening to sound doctrine. Doctrine that is healthy, that is whole, that is right, that will help us be all God wants us to be. Let's pray together. This is part 3 to this message on sound doctrine. Let's pray together. Father, bless now as we come to Your Word. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from Your Word. And may Your will be done tonight. Help us to be faithful to You now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By means of introduction, some of this will be repeat. In chapter 2 of this book that we've come to in the book of Titus, this is our New Testament book that we're studying through together. This book opens up with Titus being told to speak things that become sound doctrine. Now again, we're reminded here of the meat of this message. In this opening verse, Paul is challenging Titus to speak sound doctrine, which tells us that there's unsound doctrine. You know, not everything that's said is sound. If it's not based upon the Word of God, it is not sound doctrine. Now the word sound here means healthy. It means uncorrupt. It means whole. In other words, Titus was to teach the truth of the Word of God. He was not to add to it. He wasn't to take away from it. As Oliver Green said, "Titus, do not incorporate your own ideas or opinions into your message when you preach." In other words, he's being told here to teach the things that are doctrinally sound. Don't add anything to the gospel that you've heard. Don't take anything away from it that you've heard. Titus is to preach nothing that's opposed to the Word of God, nor anything that deviates away from the truth of Scripture. He was to preach truly, "Thus saith the Lord," because the Lord truly did say those things. He was to be a preacher who was faithful to the Word of God that he was called to preach. And he was to preach healthy doctrine. Now, among many things, because really this is healthy doctrine, which means there's a lot that you can say about sound doctrine tonight, because this is sound doctrine, but just tying ourselves down to the opening 10 verses of chapter 2, this is what we're focusing on. We see that there's an important thought that comes out that's connected to sound doctrine. Now, the interesting thing here is Paul is speaking to Titus to set things in order in the local churches there in Crete, which means that sound doctrine was to affect the local church. Sound doctrine was to be preached in the pulpit, and it was to be lived in the pews. Now, that being the case, there are 4 major groups of people that the Word of God mentions here in context about sound doctrine, that sound doctrine within the confines of the local church will affect these 4 groups of people. We've already looked at 2 of them. The first group is the aged men and women. We already looked at that. The second group is the young men and women. The third group, which is where we pick up our study tonight, this is point number 3. We've already looked that sound doctrine instructs the aged. That's the older generation. Number 2, we've already preached on sound doctrine instructs the young. That's the younger generation. Now we come to major point number 3, and that is this. Sound doctrine in the local church, thirdly, it instructs the leader. It instructs the leader. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Skip down to verse number 7. Now, we've already preached from verse 2 down through verse number 6, where it talks about the aged women, the aged men, the young women, the young men, all the way down to verse number 6. But notice the language in verse 7. Who is the book written to? It's written to the man by the name of Titus. He is the leader at this time. He's leading these local churches. He's establishing pastors to take these churches over, but he is the leader, if you will, at this moment. Now, that being the case, Paul turns his attention to Titus in verse number 7. Notice what he tells him. He says, "In all things, showing thyself," he's talking about Titus, "showing thyself a pattern of good works." Notice the colon. "In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Now here Paul is instructing Titus, and he's telling Titus in chapter 2, verse number 1, "You teach the things that become sound doctrine. And you tell the aged men, here's how sound doctrine lives out in their life. You tell the aged women, if they live by sound doctrine, here's how they will live. You tell the young women, if they live by sound doctrine, they will live this way." We've already preached on this. You can go back and get it. And you teach the young men, if they live according to sound doctrine, that they will live a certain way. Then he changes and he begins to speak to Titus himself. And he says, "I have some instructions for you, Titus. You're the leader. So let me tell you what sound doctrine will do for you. It will cause you to show yourself a pattern of good works. And these good works will be shown in you so much that in your doctrine, you are going to be showing uncorruptness. You're going to be showing gravity. You're going to be showing sincerity. And you're going to be giving sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who are contrary to what you're saying will be ashamed because they have no evil thing to say about you." Now, what is he saying? What does all of that mean? It's a simple thought tonight. Simple, simple thought. One that's almost, I don't want to use the word embarrassing because it's in the Word of God, but it's such a simple thought that nobody's going to leave here saying, "I didn't know that." But if we will let this grip our heart, there is no telling what God will do at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. What is it sound doctrine instructs the leader to do? If the leader will live according to sound doctrine, what will it look like? By the way, I'm looking at a lot of leaders in this local church. If you're a leader in any stretch of the imagination in this local church, this, my friend, is for you. Now, may I say this to you? The interesting thing about the Word of God and these verses is that even though he's speaking to specific groups like the aged, the young, the leader, the servants, these principles apply really to all of us. It really does, okay? Because if God expects it out of the leader, he's going to expect it out of other people as well. But he's speaking directly to the leader. So tonight, if you lead others in this church, I'm talking obviously to the pastor, no doubt about that. The staff, the deacons, Sunday school, bus workers. I mean, anybody you lead, if you are in leadership in any stretch of the imagination at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, these verses and this thought is for you. If you live according to sound doctrine, the Apostle Paul said, you will show yourself a pattern of good works. You know, this is an interesting word, the word pattern. According to my study, you know what the word describes? The word describes an impression made upon an object by the pounding of a hammer upon a seal. It means an exact reproduction. That's what it means. Just like you have a seal that's made a certain way. And when you put that seal down and you hammer it back in the olden days, and when you remove the seal, what was on the seal is now on whatever you stamped it on. It's an exact reproduction. And God's saying through Paul here, if you are a leader in the local church, when it comes to good works, you should be an exact reproduction of good works. What's he saying? In other words, Titus, you are not only to teach others by sound doctrine, but you are to show them by the way you live what sound doctrine looks like. Here's the point. He was to live out in front of others what he preached. He was not to say and speak sound doctrine and then live a life contrary to it. You know, talk comes cheap. Anybody can talk it. But God is saying here, if you're going to live as the leader according to sound doctrine, you're not just going to talk it, you're going to live it. Let me ask you a question. When people watch the way I live and watch the way you live, do they see an exact reproduction of sound doctrine? Now, by the way, sound doctrine is all the Word of God. It's not just this passage, but it's everything the preacher preaches he ought to live out himself. And if a deacon says somebody ought to do this, then they ought to be doing it first. If a staff member says you ought to be doing this, then they ought to be doing it first. If the pastor gets up and said you ought to be soul winning, he ought to be setting the pattern first. What am I saying? He's saying if you want to live according to sound doctrine, you're not just going to say it, you're not just going to speak it, you're going to show it. This is the main thought tonight. Show yourself a pattern of good works. One man said an overall godly lifestyle was to form the basis for effective verbal teaching. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. It's basically the same word. Be a pattern. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Question. Have you ever known of a leader in a church who preaches one thing and lives another? Have you? Isn't it a disgusting thing? If somebody's leading something and they're saying God's word says this, you ought to do 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 this, and somebody knows in the congregation that he doesn't even do it himself. You know what it's time for? You know what this passage here is calling for? You say it good, but do you live it? Now, friends, I'm going to tell you something. This thought right here is missing in a lot of local churches. There's a lot of leaders who like to tell others what they need to be doing, but they're not doing it themselves. And in a godly leader's life in the local church, if he submitted himself to sound doctrine, he will say, God, help me not only say what's right, help me do what's right. Help me live what's right. And then it's interesting that when he does this, we see he'll be setting the example, and he brings us right back to the same word in doctrine. He's saying you will set the example in doctrine. Now, and then it's interesting what he says about that. He says doctrine, in doctrine, the middle of verse number 7, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, showing gravity, showing sincerity, showing sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In other words, if you're going to set the pattern, if you're going to be an exact reproduction of sound doctrine as a leader in the local church, one of those areas where you're going to set the example in, right here in this text, it's not just this now, but I'm tying myself down to this text. If you're going to set the exact reproduction, in other words, I want the exact reproduction of this in a leader's life, what is it? God wants you to set the exact reproduction in doctrine. You know, doctrine is a vital part of the local church. You know what doctrine is? Beliefs and teachings. That's all it is. It means what you believe and what you teach. What the Bible says, what it's teaching. That's doctrine. Don't be afraid of the word doctrine. We're a Bible doctrine church. That's what we are. We believe what the Bible teaches, and we're going to preach it the way it gives it. Now, in doctrine, the Bible says that when you set the pattern in your doctrine, he starts listing four things here that's going to summarize your doctrine. Hey, leaders, what kind of doctrine does God want you to have? You say, well, he wants me to have right doctrine. That's another passage. Sound doctrine, it's here, but I'm talking about these verses here. What kind of doctrine does he want you to have? Well, he wants you to have the doctrine about God and the Bible. That's right, but that's not this passage. He says, I want your doctrine to have uncorruptness. You know what that means? He's bringing him right back to the same thought as earlier. It means this. He said, son, Titus, if you're going to lead that local church and you're going to set a pattern for the believer, you're going to set a pattern for good works, your doctrine will be uncorrupt. You know what it means? It means plus nothing, minus nothing. That's what it means. You know what I'm learning more and more? Are you listening? God doesn't need my style. God doesn't need your style. All I'm saying to you, there are people in the past, wasn't it Jonathan Edwards, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, who read his sermons? Jonathan Edwards? He read them. And Holy Spirit conviction came upon people in such a powerful, mighty way. See, here's what we got to be on guard against. Well, I can't preach like he can, so I guess I can't do it. Well, I'm not gifted like that, so I guess I just better keep my mouth shut. Well, I just don't think I can because I don't have his style. You listening to me? If your doctrine is uncorrupt, that's all God wants. That's all God wants. See, it's not in my speech. It's not in my ability. It's not in my style. It's not in me. It's in the power of the uncorrupt doctrine of the Word of God. And God says this, if the leader is going to set a pattern of good works, he's going to be an exact reproduction of good works, his doctrine will be right. His doctrine will be sound. It'll be uncorrupt. He won't add to it. He won't take away from it. He's going to preach the truth just like God gave it. You know what Sunday school teachers need to do? Just teach the Bible. You know what bus workers need to do? Just give your kids the Bible. You know what the pastor needs to do? Open the book and just preach the Bible. Thus saith the Lord. This is one reason I like preaching through books. Let me tell you why. Because it forces me to preach on things that I would not choose had I not been preaching through a book. I'm preaching through a book here, so I'm dealing with it verse by verse, and this verse here is teaching me God doesn't need my extras. God just wants me to open the Bible and give it the way he wrote it. Doctrine's to be uncorrupt. Then he's still talking about doctrine. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. In doctrine, showing gravity. What does that mean? That word gravity means honesty. It means serious. It means commanding respect. That's what it means. It's all in that word. It means that when you preach it, you are commanding respect for the Word of God. Because you're giving it honest and you're giving it serious and it demands respect. Oliver Green put it well when he said what Paul is saying to the young preacher is simply that he is to be honest, upright, above reproach in his teaching, in his preaching, in his living. He's to be an example in any and all things that will ensure respect from the church and from unbelievers as well. The meaning here is that the manner in which God's preacher delivers the message God has given to him should be a manner to command the respect of the listeners. It's a great and grave responsibility for God's preacher to stand in the pulpit and deliver God's word to men and women who are eternity bound. Listen to me, this is the most serious thing going on planet Earth. What I'm doing tonight. It's opening the Word of God and explaining it to people. This is more important than what's going on in Washington. Aren't you glad? Amen. This is more important than what goes on in anything else. I don't care. I don't care what it is. That doesn't mean that what you're doing is not important. Don't get me wrong. It is important inside the will of God. But there's nothing more important, more serious, than somebody who takes the Word of God, opens it, and said, "Let me tell you what God said." Are you listening to me? That is a serious thing. That is an accountability thing. That is a major responsibility, and we better be sure that's what God said. Because if it's not and we give it wrong, it's not serious, it's not honest, and it's not commanding respect, I don't look forward to my judgment day at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to answer for every sermon I preach out of this book. Did I really say it honest? Did I really give it honest? Was my doctrine, I'm talking about showing itself in gravity, was I serious? Was I honest? And did I live in such a way that my life did not bring disrespect to this book? You see how practical this is? He's simply saying, don't just preach it, live it. Live it in such a way that nobody can grab a hold of something in your life and say that must not be true because look at what he's doing. He must not believe it because looky there. She must not believe it because looky there. There shouldn't be anything to grab in our life to bring disrespect to this book. Are you getting the hint with me in the book of Titus that the Word of God is serious to the Lord? That he's serious about his Word? Absolutely. In doctrine, it ought to show uncorruptness. In doctrine, it ought to show gravity. In doctrine, it ought to show sincerity. That's exactly what it means. It means sincere. It means genuine. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward." Here's what that verse is saying to me, that in their life, talking about their conversation in the world, their lifestyle in the world, they had godly sincerity. Let me ask you a question. Can you honestly look at your life and say, my life is an example of godly sincerity? Let me ask you a question. Is there anything in your life that you should stop doing if you're really going to give your doctrine in sincerity? That means godly sincerity. That means genuine. This is true. This is accurate. This is what God is. This is the honest truth. Is that our doctrine? Is that how we live? May I say this to you? You show me somebody who's a Christian who's living in sin, I show you somebody who is living a dishonest lifestyle. It's dishonest. Because that's not who Christ is. And that's not what the doctrine is when it's sound doctrine. If you live according to sound doctrine, you're going to be uncorrupt. You're going to be gravity, talking about serious, honest, commanding respect. You're going to be sincere, truly showing who God is. Then he says, sound doctrine, setting a pattern in good works, and doctrine will lead you to sound speech. Titus is encouraged here to use sound speech that cannot be condemned. In other words, to use the healthy doctrine of the Word of God and live a life that backs it up. And nothing can justly be brought against him. Ephesians 4:9 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You know what is a stench in the nostrils of God? And I think we've all been there. We're probably all guilty of this. Is unsound speech. Christians who don't talk like Christians. Christians who disrespect one another. Christians who belittle one another. Christians who gossip about one another. Christians who never open their mouth with the gospel to others. That's unsound speech. That's unsound speech. Let me ask you a question. Is your speech becoming to sound doctrine? When you speak, does God see an exact reproduction of what He would say? Well, that's a challenging thought, isn't it? Think about our words just this week. Think about your words. Let me think about mine while you think about yours. Let's think about our words this week. What have you said to others this week? How have you spoken to others this week? If you're married, how have you spoken to your mate? If you're a parent, how have you spoken to your children? At work, when something went wrong, how did you speak to others? Was it sound speech? Was it an exact reproduction of what's pleasing to God? Did it set a pattern of good works? Now, the interesting thing about this is in these verses, we see just these two verses here, 7 and 8. In these verses, we see sound doctrine is also to have an impact on the life of the leader in the local church. This is the third group, the leader. No doubt this applies to the pastor. But let all leaders in this local church be challenged by this thought. And the thought is this: God expects sound doctrine to affect the aged. He expects sound doctrine to affect the young. But He also expects sound doctrine to affect the local church leaders. To the point that they determine that they're going to be an exact reproduction, a pattern, a stamp of good works before God. And one of those good works, He goes into detail in doctrine that shows uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, and sound speech. The Word of God goes on to say in verse number 8 that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, there are no leaders in the local church who are sinless. There are no leaders who are exactly like Christ. But leaders are to live in such a way that their words are backed up by the way they are living, to the point that the unbelievers may not agree with what you say, but they have nothing to hold on to accuse you. It's time that we understand it is a serious thing to be a leader in the local church. And God says, if you're going to lead in my church, I want you honest. I want you serious. I want you genuine, not only in what you say, but in how you live. I wonder, are you using sound speech, uncorrupt doctrine, doctrine that has gravity and sincerity? Are you living in such a way that there's no evil thing? Right there in verse number 8. No evil thing to say of you. Now that's simple tonight. That's simple. God is simply saying, if it's truly sound speech, it should not only affect how you speak, it should affect how you live. That's those verses. So let me ask you a question. If God Almighty put a video camera on you and you didn't know it, and He walks with you for the next week of your life, watching everywhere you go, listening to everything you say, watching your attitude with one another? Does he see an exact reproduction of sound doctrine? Does he look at your life and say, that's healthy? Don't you think it's important to God that what is preached behind this pulpit and what is taught in the Sunday school classes of this church and what is taught in the ministries outside of this church, from this local church, those that lead it, don't you think it's important to God that what the leaders say is sound doctrine? Do you think that's important to God? Yes? Yes? God says you're right. It is important. You speak the things, Titus verse 1, chapter 2 verse 1. You speak the things that become sound doctrine, Titus. What you say should be an exact reproduction of sound doctrine. It's right, it's healthy. But Titus, when I'm talking about the aged and the young, don't you get so focused on them that you lose sight of yourself. And you realize that if you're going to live according to sound doctrine, if I expect you to speak it, God also expects you to live it. Are you living sound doctrine? That's verses 7 and 8. Are you living it? Forget if you're teaching it. I hope you're teaching it, because if not, and I'm going to pray it gets back to me, we'll take care of that. Amen. If there's any unsound doctrine going on, I don't know about it. And the reason I don't is because I don't think there is. Thank God for that. Thank God for sound doctrine being taught at Buffalo Ridge. Amen or not? Thank God that you don't have to worry about what's going to be preached, because we're opening the Bible and just telling you what God said. That's our heartbeat. That's what we want to speak it. But God speaks to my heart and says, Jody, it's one thing if you speak it, son. But it's another thing to live it. You need to live what you're speaking. This is what's pleasing to God. You got it? If you don't, I'm going to start all over again. You got it? Is this not a simple thought? Is it not simple? I told you. When you leave, it's not going to be like, I didn't know that. Do you see how simple and practical the Word of God really is? He's simply telling Titus, you live what you speak. God, give us leaders like that. Amen. God, help me say it right, but help me live it right. Help me to be an exact reproduction of what you want me to be. That's Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, bless this, I pray. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your word. Help us to be faithful to you. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. We're going to begin to play through softly. I never want to let a service come and go without giving people an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. If you're here tonight and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, tonight is the night of your salvation. Will you come and say yes to Jesus Christ? Will you accept Him and Him alone into your heart as your Lord and Savior? As they begin to play through softly, as soon as they get prepared, there's time for you. You come, let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Well, let me ask you this. Some of you all know right now that there's somebody in this local church that you are leading. Now, I'm talking about in the setting of this local church. I'm talking to all deacons. I'm talking to all deacon wives. I'm talking to all staff members. I'm talking to all staff wives. I'm talking to all Sunday school workers, bus workers. I'm talking to anybody who gets up in front of people and leads them in a spiritual way. If you teach anybody the Word of God at all at this local church, you teach them the Word of God. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? That's a lot of you. If you raise your hand, I want you to lower it. I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? The message tonight is specifically to us. Now, if you're not raising your hand, you can still learn a great lesson here. Live the Christian life. Live it. Don't just teach it, live it. But if you have the opportunity and the blessing to lead others at this local church, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is speaking to the leaders. And he's saying this, show thyself a pattern. Be a stamp. Be a reproduction. Be exactly what I want you to be. And you make sure your doctrine is uncorrupt. And you take your job serious. And you stay honest. And you be sincere. And you make sure every time you open your mouth that it is sound speech. Sound speech. I want Brother Daniel just to begin to sing. Maybe God is speaking to your heart as a leader, and God's just challenging you tonight. God, help me see it the way you do. Help me never get over this. You've called me to lead in this local church. Make me a leader like Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. It'd be great for many leaders to respond tonight. As he sings, would you do this? Come on now, would you do it? If God is speaking to you as a leader, leave your place and come and talk to God. God, make me a leader like this. Make me a leader that takes my job serious. Make me a leader that stays honest, sincere, uncorrupt, right with God.
Of thy love.
May the Lord's will be done here.
At the impulse of thy love, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King.
Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the privilege to preach. Challenge us with these thoughts from Titus chapter 2. Help us as we progress through this book to get it, to understand it, to learn the principles. And may the will of God be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to call the church into session.